Dear ones, for this afternoon's reading and our meditation, I desire to read three verses from 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3, 4, and 5. Любим зажелим кроз Божју помош да се прочита из друге посланице Коринчанима, 10. глава, 3., 4. и 5. број. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. May God bless this reading, and let us kneel before our Lord in prayer. Paul describes a battle, warfare, a battle that has taken place, and he says that the battleground is over the mind. This is where Satan has made his stronghold. And the only way in which we can overcome a stronghold is a fortress, it's a fortified place. And Satan will not give that place up easily. He wants to remain in our mind, knowing that true repentance towards God is a change of mind, which brings about a change of heart. And it has to be complete. And Paul says that this pulling down the weapons of the warfare, which are mighty through God, and it pulls down, destroys those strongholds of Satan. In the following chapter, he speaks of a fear of, again, it's the mind. He says, I fear lest by any means as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Why? He says, for he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached. Or if you receive another spirit, which you have not received, or another gospel, which you have not accepted. So there's a fear. There's a fear of something false. A false spirit, a false Christ, a false gospel. This is done through subtlety. Subtlety is trickery, deceiving. Anything in the ways that would appear, as Satan builds his stronghold through subtlety, not through, oh, just go reject Christ. That we don't want to do. But if we get implanted in our minds a different Christ, we say, well, what do you mean a different Christ? How can, you know, there's only one Christ. How can someone preach to us another Christ and for us to accept it? Well, he says, when you preach another Jesus whom we have not preached, what that simply means is that the law that Jesus brought, his law of love, his law of service, if it deviates from that, it's a different gospel, it's a different spirit, and it's a different Christ. Man wants to accept. He thinks that in his mind he can accept Jesus as his Savior. But true repentance is accepting of him as our Savior and our Lord. when he is the Lord of our hearts and minds, he takes over. And it says here, what happens to our mind then? Remember, I think it is to the Philippians or the Ephesians that Paul actually speaks of us having this mind which is in Christ also. So he says, you cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Any thought that is not in accordance to the thoughts of God, to the knowledge of God, is against him. And it is exalting. When I would want to think of a different manner than what God has given me, something different, something, whatever it might be. You know, I think all of us can consider our lives and the things that, whatever it is that our thoughts are that go contrary to what the Spirit is teaching us, it tells us here that we are exalting ourselves up above the knowledge of God. But he says, the casting down of these imaginations, it's not through a physical warfare. No, it says you bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and we think, well, how can that man would be a perfect man? Dear ones, the book of Hebrews tells us that we have a new covenant. And this new covenant, Christ says, is a covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. And what will he do? He says, I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. So, as the battle rages for our mind, dear ones, Satan doesn't want to give up his stronghold. He wants us to be obedient. Don't do, but as long as he can have our mind, these imaginations, he says, that are not being brought into captivity, into the obedience that is in Christ, is an exaltation against the knowledge of God. And in doing that, dear ones, we find ourselves losing. So what is the answer? How is it that we can overcome? How is it that our minds can be yielded to this new law that would be written in our minds, and the law of God that he has left for us? It says that you would put off. So there's an appeal that is being made of our old nature. Paul is writing to them, to the church in Ephesus. He says that you would put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts. He said, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And then you would put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So where is this putting off? Where do I put off this old man? Where can I leave him? Where do I find this new man? How can I rid myself of the old man? It tells us that the old man, it tells us who he is. He says, don't walk, he says, as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened. Understanding. Again, this mind of ours, when it is darkened, how is it darkened? Through a different spirit, through a different gospel, through a different Christ. One who isn't the one that came and that brought the gospel. He says, so you're going to have your understanding darkened. Darkened by subtleties, differences. Everything changes from the strictness of Jesus Christ. He becomes a little more lax. It becomes a little bit more okay. And so our understanding gets darkened. Well, what is darkness? We know everything that is darkness is a lie. And so anything that would darken our mind is a lie. It is not truth. It is evil. It is sin. And so the understanding of our mind is darkened. And then it says we are alienated from the life of God. How? Through ignorance. Well, how does that ignorance come about? Through the darkening of the mind. Through what he says here, another Jesus being preached. One who is more forgiving of sin. Well, let me rephrase that. We know that Jesus alone is the one who forgives sin. But this other Jesus that is being preached is one who is going to turn his head away from sin, from us committing sin, and understand that we are just mortal man. That is allowing ourselves to be alienated from God. And being alienated from the life of God through ignorance that we have allowed in our heart. Why? Because of the blindness of our heart. Why is our heart blind? Because darkness. Darkness has been allowed to reside within our mind and our heart. You can't have repentance unless Jesus Christ is your Savior and your Lord. He is your King. He is your all. He says, they've given themselves over into lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. He says, but ye have not so learned Christ. These were Christians. These were Christians. Brothers and sisters, that word is so accepted today. Yeah, but he's a Christian. Doing evil, doesn't matter. Yeah, but he's a Christian. He's a Christian. He says, but you have not so learned Christ. The definition of a Christian, according to the Scripture, is one who has yielded his mind to Christ. Jesus, his gospel, his spirit, enlightened, eyes that were darkened, mind that was darkened is now light, eyes that can now see. You've been taught by him. You've learned of him. So he says, put off the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, as we just read, and you put on a new man. How can this happen? Where can we do this? He says, don't give place to the devil. That's where the battle is going on right now. To give place to him as we still call Jesus our Savior. Paul said he did it at the cross. It's the only place. It's the place that I can put off the old man. It's the only place that I can be, where I can leave myself and my will at the cross, where I can be renewed in mind. As Paul also says in to the Romans, he tells us to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. You can't do that. We can't know what is a good, acceptable, perfect will of God unless we are willing to be renewed in mind. Once we are renewed, that is the avenue through which His Holy Spirit comes into us, as we are renewed in mind. Paul tells us also what a renewed mind is to think of. He says, brethren, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. The battlefield, the battleground is for our minds. Think on these things. And Paul goes on and says, those things which ye have both learned, you received, you heard, and you seen in me, do that. And the God of peace shall be with you. Dear ones, he also tells us that we are not to be not only not be in this world, but he tells us that Paul says that again. Where is this? This can happen to us. Where can this transformation take place? Where can this renewing take place? Where can these strongholds that Satan has built in my mind? Where can they be pulled down? How can this be done? Because I can't do it. My mind wanders. My mind goes. It goes where it wants to. My eyes see, and I want to go where it sees. Where I want to go there. Why? Because I'm not thinking the things that are pure, lovely, of good report, honest. Paul says, I am crucified to this world. I am crucified to this world. This world has nothing in it that I want. I am dead to this world. Where can you be dead to this world? How can I be dead to this world? Again, where can we go? To the cross. But then Paul says, I am crucified to this world, and this world is crucified to me. He has no use for the world. The world has no use for him. That is a Christian. That is a definition of a child of God. That is someone who can say, whatever you've learned, whatever you've heard, whatever you've seen in me, do that. Do that. Why can he say that? This world is dead to him, and he's dead to this world. How? At the cross. He went to the cross, and he was renewed in mind. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. This is the new birth that our Lord spoke of. This is the casting down of imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God and brings into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Dear ones, how can we read this and leave here feeling good about ourselves? Every thought is brought into captivity to obedience Christ. That means when we look at one another, there's not a thought. There's never a thought of, look at him. Look at him acting this way. Look at him this. There's none of that stuff in you. None of that in me. It doesn't exist. There's only love of Christ. My mind has been transformed. There's only a love that brings about a hurt and a compassion for one another, for a joy for one another, but never an anger at one another. It cannot be. If it's in obedience to Christ, it's not there. Those things are gone. They're passed away. Behold, everything has become new. Paul says, I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve, as he beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. What do we think of the simplicity that is in Christ? What do we think of Jesus Christ? The simplicity of the love of Jesus Christ and what he's calling us to. I will write my law upon your hearts and your minds. I will write those things in your mind. Those things which are honest, those things which are pure, those things which are lovely. Think on these things. They're in your mind. I wrote them there. Or did he? Did another Jesus write that in our minds? Did another? And who is that other? Who is that other Jesus? Who is that other gospel? Who is that other spirit? It's Satan. He transforms himself into an angel of light. He transforms himself to make us look like he's the real deal. How? Through subtlety as he beguiled Eve. I fear, Paul says, I fear that you're going to do the same thing. And you're going to be lost. Why does he fear for himself? He doesn't fear for himself. He knows where he is, but he fears for you and me. He feared for this church. Why? Why did Paul fear for them? Because he loved them. Why did he love them? Because he loved Christ. It's simple. That's the simplicity that is in Christ. That's it. Pulling down of strongholds. What is that weapon? What is that weapon? It's not carnal. No, don't take up arms. Don't go fight other nations to purge them from their evil. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. No, you're not going to be pick up arms to fight for him. Put those arms down. The weapons of our warfare is his truth. That's what gives us our knowledge of who he is. That's what transforms our mind. That's what causes us to think upon the things that are lovely, pure, of honest report. Those are the things that are written upon the tables of our hearts and minds. Those are the things that we think on. Those are the things that we love. The truth, who is God himself, is the power. And we can only avail ourselves to that power at the cross, where I must die that he might live. Brothers and sisters and dear friends, Paul says, I fear, lest you be beguiled. Do we fear being beguiled? Do we want to look into our life to see where have we allowed Satan to build that stronghold? A stronghold, a fortress. At the cross, that fortress will crumble like the walls of Jericho. It doesn't stand a chance. It's at the cross. And so, dear ones, the battle is over our minds. You have the mind of Christ, Paul tells us. You have the mind of Christ. Let us think upon Jesus. Let us go to the cross. Let us die to ourselves so that he may live in us. And so that avenue where the Holy Spirit will come through our minds and hearts and illuminate us and make our eyes so that we can see that our faith then will produce the fruit that is pleasing unto him. Amen.
The word speaks to us of the spiritual warfare and speaks of things that are high, and seemingly insurmountable. Things that say God will not provide. And it seems that the word of faith would speak against all of those voices. And though we see trends in the world and things that are exalted in the world, we don't seem to see those things change too much. But the things on the battlefield of our own minds and hearts, the word is able to subdue and bring all that into the captivity, every thought to the obedience of Christ. So really, I'm without excuse. The word is clear to me, it's clear to you, and the Holy Spirit can speak and bring to mind the things that need to be yielded and areas of obedience. As the brother had concluded, that we would be bringing forth fruits of the faith that are pleasing and honoring to God. Maybe that be the fruit of our gathering together. Amen.